Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. I'm Anita, and happy. I hope you listeners have had a wonderful Easter. My Easter's actually been pretty good. Sleepy, because, you know, allergy time, and I did not take any allergy medicine, and there is ragweed on the ground. So I am, like, feeling some kind of way, and so is my co-host. He started sneezing during our walk. And right now he's sleeping and taking care of himself. He's a mini pincher. You get the idea. So anyway, the episode I'm doing now, I actually got the idea from a client I have because we got in discussion. I was like, I don't know what I want to talk about because I like over almost 200 episodes written. And so that means now I have like 147 more to make. And I had a hectic week, and it was like, I typed, oh, yeah, you know, taking small steps, because for those of you who don't know, I also make body products. If you'd like any information, you can email me at icaga2004@gmail.com. Again, the email is icaga2004@gmail.com, and it's the number 2004. So anyway, I'm like, trying to get my stuff in order. I talked to a business consultant about it, doing promotions. And I was like, I don't know which way is up. Okay, so I wasn't that dramatic, but I did feel that dramatic. And it just reminded me of the Oprah quote about faith of a mustard seed and taking a step in the right direction. And it's like, sometimes you just don't. And you always hear that, you know, take a small step in the right direction, everything will go well. It's like, but what is the right direction? And that's the thing. When you have a million and everything can seem like the right direction, and piggybacking on my magic copyright episode, and I have been meditating, but sometimes it's like, okay, I can feel myself breathing. I can feel myself calming down. I can feel myself self-soothing and not in that kind of way. But boom. And like, this is not working. And I know it's necessary to take that small step, because when you take a small step, it feels good. It's sort of like a buzz, but it's like, yeah, I did something. I can remember when I made up my mind to lose 100 pounds. I mean, I've gained some of it back. I made this promise like 10 years ago. Yeah, it was 10 years ago, April 4th, because I had lost an internship end. And I realized I was heavier than my mom was when she was pregnant with me, and I never had any kids. Like, and my listeners know I have PCOS, so when the time comes to pop out a baby, I'm going to have a hard time conceiving. So I made up my mind to go to the gym again, because the apartments I was living in Savannah, they had a free gym membership because I didn't have an on-site gym. I made up my mind. I drove over a bridge to go to the, that was a, okay, so actually getting dressed was the step, because it's like, okay, I've gotten dressed. I'm getting in my car. But why don't I just drive to Publix and buy some ice cream? Because, and that's like my favorite food. But I did it. And then I talked to a trainer. And then I hired that trainer. And I almost, because I did get a case of the flu and stuff, but I actually went on a low-carb diet, and when I moved, and in almost a year, I lost almost 100 pounds in a year. Toned up, I went from 256 to like 165 now. So, I mean, it's still a little close, but, you know, with everything going on, making up my mind to move from Savannah, which is where I had all my friends and support, to Columbia, where I, at the time, only need like two people, and I don't quit moving to Columbia, but they do celebrate Confederate Day. I did not know that when I moved. But anyway, that small step made me take other steps, and then more steps, because I was on a, it's weird to say, but it really is a buzz, and when you're doing stuff on a buzz, you don't notice. Sort of like when you're drunk, or you see those drunk people outside during football games. Like, yeah, I don't feel the cold. Like, really, you do not feel the cold because you have this buzz and this ebullience and like, yay! And sometimes I don't know if it's the free zone or what. Feel that small, it's like, I can do this. And that's sort of how I feel with the body part and with this show because I made up my mind to get back into radio. And I was actually talking to a mentor. It wasn't Cajun King. And because he was sort of kind of meant another story another day, I will eventually make that episode. And I've been saying that before, and eventually I will. Not sure if it's going to be this decade, but anyway. So I had another mentor, and I wanted to get back into media because I love media. And I actually met how I got this show. I was talking, going through some stuff with Situationship because I thought we broke up. But anyway, so one of my friends recommended Plenty of Fish, and a guy on Plenty of Fish recommended Blog Talk Radio. So then I went through writing. Well, I had a treatment written for the show to be on KUHF, and for those who don't know, that is the University of Houston's radio station. I have volunteered there along with WHJC, which is the Savannah State radio station, because you know, I went to school. I graduated from Savannah State. And when I was in Texas, I was sort of getting the radio buzz again because, you know, I had a little thing. So I took the steps, you know, of going through remembering how to write a treatment. Then the next step was getting a mentor before all that, then talking to somebody, even though it was random. It was more of a casual, but they recommended it. When I was debating doing it for KUHF, writing the treatment, you know, remembering how to write a treatment. And then that motivated me to realize, hey, I've got to do research on listeners, you know, socioeconomic research and figure out what kind of underwriting to do. And I know that sounds like total radio jargon, and it is. There's underwriting as a type of commercial writing, but it's not as, because you can't give a call for action. Like, come on down to, like, on-air Toyota or something like that. You can say, okay, well, I haven't really done underwriting since college. I haven't done great underwriting since college. I have done some underwriting during this show, but I've still got to remember because doing it on a continual basis. But you can't be explicit with the calls for action as much, and you can't give details of pricing, like we're 50% off. It's like, hey, you know, if you're interested in such and such, contact On Air Toyota. Here's the address. And then you can do that. So that's like the major difference. So learning how to getting back into underwriting, which was major because this was the summer before I started the show. And I had not done like a lot of in-depth underwriting since 2006. And yeah, I volunteered with WHJC after college, but I wasn't doing underwriting. Like, I don't think I did any underwriting when I was, but I did program directing and stuff. So having to change my mindset, but I was motivated and I took though, and you roll with it. It is like a snowball. I mean, snowballs that destroy cities and hamlets and cottages don't start out this ginormous thing. They start out maybe the size of Superman's paw. And then they get the momentum going. And then they get more stuff into them. And then they just down the thing. By the way, I had one large cup of coffee. I've still got some of that cup of coffee left. And I will be reheating it tomorrow. I feel like having coffee. No. But yeah, so that's the thing. It's not starting with the, and the thing is, when you start with the big paralyzing, I'm not sure which one is more paralyzing, starting with taking a giant step because you're going to go backwards because you don't know, or trying to figure out what the right direction is. And even when you know what the right direction is, it's like, okay, the right direction is right. Okay, pun not intended when I say right, but I'm pointing right. And there's a wall in the way, and it's like, okay, how do I move? And literally, there is a wall in front of on my right, and there's one on my left. Well, there's a door on my left. So it's like, out of the wall. It's like, and like, let's say there was only one wall here. So, okay, we'll walk around the wall. And then what if there's an invisible wall? Like, okay, I got to figure out how to get around this wall. And sometimes that's the thing. When you're trying to figure out the right direction, it paralyzes you. It really does. And you have this like Hamlet complex, and I have been guilty of it. I mean, I have even sat in therapy talking about it. Yeah, I'm that female. And I know that sounds, that completely sounds outside of my race, and some people say I should get my black card. But you know what? My mother went to that. I went to therapy. I am learning to deal with my issues. I'm not going to like completely self-medicate. I am taking, again, a baby step to deal with anxieties. And I also had a tune-up when she died, and next month will be the 12-year mark. Anyway, I know I'm just completely and totally going off subject, but that's the part. And I really think finding the right direction, because everybody's right direction is different. And even if you do, and even if you take steps, sometimes it gets lonely. I mean, it's a long, to quote the Beatles, it's a long and winding road sometimes. And you do need people to keep you on course. And like, okay, do this. And when I was dieting, I did have my friends. Like, when I first started, I didn't tell a lot of people. I didn't tell like one or two. And people noticed because I was bringing my own food. And I wasn't eating as much junk food. Now my cheat days, I was like, if I'm going to cheat, I'm going to balls to the walls cheat, you know, the Ben and Jerry's in the morning with the cheesecake. Yeah, it was marble cheesecake and everything but the Ben and Jerry's, and lunch was cheese Alfredo. But during the week, I was on it. I mean, you know, measuring the egg whites and measuring the chicken breast. But you still need people, a good support system. Because let's face it, sometimes support, it's, to quote Maxine, you know, you can get sperm from a bank and support from a bra. But it's sort of pointless to spend money on a bra that really isn't supportive and just cute, especially when you're a certain size. Like, yeah, really, it's like, this is not working. Some bras are meant to be cute, but when you are doing the major, like if you're training for an Ironman, that cute, and you know, frou-frou support has this moment, but if you're doing something major, like an Ironman, for example, you don't need the cute push-up bra from Victoria's Secret. And I'll be like, I got the 90-second one. This has its place. No, you need to go to Sports Authority or some kind of sports place and get that sturdy bra, especially when you got big boobs. And that's what you need. You need a sturdy support to help you stay on course. And sometimes it may not be, yeah, people are good. But you also have to, in the immortal words of my favorite diva, find a hero inside yourself to motivate yourself. Find that little light, that guiding light. I know that points me because I actually like the soap opera guideline to make sure you stay and have the energy to be like, okay, shoelace. That is your first to stand out now. And you may be the only person clapping for you. But, you know, your clap. You take that step and you be proud. So, anyway, I've got like few more seconds, and I really appreciate you guys listening. Hope your Easter has been well. I'm Anita. This is Ramble, and next month. Okay, bye.